Greetings, those who are gathering to join us to listen to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so thankful that you are here. Today, we have a very special guest, which I am also very thankful for, a man who I have watched have an incredible impact for God's kingdom and God's glory, a man I am privileged to call a friend, and his name is Jack. So, Jack, welcome here.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. It's good to be here.
I want to introduce you, so I hope you don't mind, and I hope this doesn't make you too proud, but you were the president of Awana. That's the first time I met you and having an impact on kids' ministry there. And then I got to know you much better with something called Global Children's Network, which I would love for you to tell us a little bit about because it was actually thought of, dreamed of, and started in this very church.
It certainly was. This is where we birthed the vision that has really now encompassed the world. In fact, we're in over 45 countries.
45 countries. How many ministries, how many pastors, how many children? Do you have the numbers? I should have warned you I was going to ask you these questions.
Well, we're getting close to 1 million children that are active in what we call long-term discipleship. That means the church and the home are partnering, and they're doing it together in both places in a most wonderful way.
Over 1 million kids. And I've heard that the growth potential is amazing because of how you're doing that, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I just want to say to Cloverdale Baptist Church people, and obviously if you're not attending here, you're welcome to listen to this as well, but isn't it amazing how God can use people like us to have a global impact when we partner with those who God has chosen? Jack, I'm talking about you, and used. And just a quick shout out to Paul Weemy as well. Paul is the chairman of your board,
yes,
and a man who has a dream to reach children for Christ, a dream for stewardship, those sort of things, and tremendous impact around the world because of his part with you in this ministry, partnering with you, and then all that he's done. So I'm so thankful that you're here, so thankful that I get to partner with you. I'm privileged to sit on the board.
That's right.
And be a part of it. And just again, the impact that this congregation has had through you, through Paul, through Global Children's Network, amazing. Now, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why is kids' ministry important?
Well, I think the answer is something we all Christians already know, and that is children are made in the image of God. And they are eternal souls, but at the same time, they're born into sin. And like you and me, they need a Savior. And contrary to what some people might think, children can be saved. And we need to be mindful of that.
You know, it's interesting. I used to believe in total depravity or children having a sin nature, as you're talking about there, but then I had Eloise, so now I'm not as sure.
yeah.
Just a joke. That's... Eloise certainly has a sin nature as well. That's my granddaughter, for those listening. Jack, I so agree with you. And in fact, for Jesus, he certainly took the time for children and actually used them as an example of what it meant to come into the kingdom. So just to sum up what you said, children matter to God very much because they're made in his image. Yeah. They matter to us because they are fallen and they are sinners and they need salvation that is found in Christ. And we have the privilege of being his messengers to children.
Yes.
What an amazing thing. Can you tell me, you introduced this to me, I don't know, a little while ago. In fact, we did some seminars together at the Missions Fest in Vancouver. What's the 414 window?
Well, that's something that we took out into all the world years ago. And honestly, in most countries, you talk to Christians, they know exactly what that is. But we really didn't.
Well, what about this country? Because I think many people listening probably don't.
They don't. In Canada and the U.S., honestly, they really have no idea what it is. So let me give you a brief definition. The 414 window tells us that a majority of all who ever come to faith in Jesus will do so between the ages of 4 and 14.
Now, when you say majority, Jack, what's the percentages?
Well, if you're in the political system, it's 51% or more. But that's a great question because we did do some research.
In fact,
Barna Research Group did spend some time digging into that across the U.S. of A., and it came out to be about 80%.
Yeah, 80. I've heard it's even higher in Canada.
Yeah.
And if you go to 18, it even goes higher, like into the high 80s is what
I've yes,
heard.
Absolutely. So if that is the case, and it certainly is, it really should shock all of us into sitting down and asking ourselves, what do we need to do differently in our churches? Because that is the age of great receptivity. In fact, we call it the golden hour of opportunity for the church.
It. Yeah, I think you're so right. And I think that's why here at CBC, it's so important to us to see children's ministries flourish and to see kids know Jesus, follow Jesus, and then actually reach their friends. We found that often they're the ones that are more talkative, more willing to engage, more first loved. Maybe Jesus was right when he said, "For such belong the kingdom of heaven."
Yes, indeed.
I think the 4:14 window is very helpful to understand. And I think actually, even in terms of global missions, Jack, which is one of the reasons why I appreciate you so much and believe in what you are doing so much, is that if we understand this 4:14 window, then even in other places all around the world, this should be a major focus of what we do missionally in terms of making disciples, in terms of reaching people for Jesus and
yes.
communities for Jesus. And I know early on we'd even talked about we're going in and we're seeing children come to know Jesus, then their families, then churches being planted, and even seeing this 4:14 window as a window into communities to see churches flourish.
Yeah, we're still discovering things that we never knew just a few years ago. For example, we've discovered that children are 10 times bolder than us Christian adults. We're generally afraid to share our faith because we don't want people to reject us. But
yeah,
kids,
our inhibitions.
When you tell a child a biblical story and then say, you're on mission, you're free to be a missionary today and tell somebody else that story, they will do it every time.
That's amazing. And so I think that's a part of what we do with Malachi Kids, actually, isn't it? Is you're getting the kids to learn stories and tell stories. You want to just maybe first tell us, what is God doing around the world right now in kids' ministry? And then I'll maybe interrupt you a few times, but tell us about Malachi Kids and what that is. And even the name sounds a little strange. I know Malachi, Malachi, it's in the Bible somewhere. But
yeah, you know, Malachi, he makes a good pasta, doesn't he?
Good pasta, yeah, very good.
Well, I think all of us know that Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament, and the very last thing he said before the 400 silent years that came to an end when John the Baptist introduced Jesus.
Pretty important
time.
You'll
remember Malachi said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, we believe that's the coming tribulation time, but God's going to do something really unique and special. He's going to send Elijah. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that's literally Elijah or a figurative Elijah, but here's what Elijah's going to do because he's on mission. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. Now, that does not mean that hearts of fathers are going to pitter-patter and they're going to get a little more emotional and say, oh, I just love my kids more than I did yesterday. No, no, no. It's talking about fathers. Their eyes are opened. And they are reminded of the Lord that they have a very high calling to be the spiritual, moral leaders and mentors in their child's lives. Most fathers don't know how to do that today. They're not engaged because they've not really been trained, and they're a little bit insecure about really looking foolish in the eyes of their children. So what if somebody like our Malachi Kids Ministry puts together a solution that really makes this doable, and dads embrace it, and they have good success with their kids?
You know, I think this is so important. What I found, and again, patterns are different in different places, but often women are spiritual leaders in the home, and I've even seen that waning as women, more and more women are in the workforce and different things that are culturally changing. And we're finding, I think, less and less spiritual life in the home, more and more dependence upon the church, and I don't think that's how God designed it to be. I think Deuteronomy 6, which you gave a phenomenal message on that the last time I heard you speak. The whole pattern is for the home and for the family to be a place of discipleship and the church to augment and supplement and guide and guard that whole ministry. And
yeah.
I think Malachi Kids does that extremely well. So could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, think with me about the Great Commission. I mean, all of our people at church know what the Great Commission is. That's what Jesus gave to the disciples, who in turn gave to the church, and that is, in Matthew 28, go make disciples. But few of us know that 1,500 years before that, God spoke through Moses, and he gave the Great Commission to parents.
I like it.
And he tells parents, clearly, this is your calling. This is your duty. This is something that you can need, that you can do, but we understand today that parents need training. They need that leadership. And that's why we are so pro-pastors.
I love it. And pro-pastors then engaging parents so that parents will then engage in the home so that we'll see a whole nation, culture, world discipled. I think one of the things that breaks my heart as we seek to see discipleship happen is that the culture seems to be moving farther and farther, at least in North America. I think you're better than us in the U.S., which is where you're from. But I think we're moving farther and farther away from God.
Yeah.
And I don't think the solution is politics. I think the solution is discipleship. And I think the pattern biblically is the home. And I think the pattern that you've created, designed, and then implemented around the world, and now a little bit in North America, really accomplishes this. So thank you for that.
Well, one thing we can certainly do is to help everyone understand that the mission of the church remains the same. Go make disciples. And parents, you are involved in that with your children, whether you understand it or not. And the church will do well to come along beside you and train you, and then literally lay hands on you and commission you to the work that you are to begin to do in the home. Our job in Malachi Kids and Global Children's Network is to make it fun, exciting, doable, and very, very fruitful spiritually.
Didn't you tell me once it's a sin to bore children with the gospel?
That's exactly right.
Hey, I'm wondering if you could, because I'm sure we have parents and grandparents listening, and certainly the first thing I think that as people listen to Deuteronomy 6, listen to your passion around the whole understanding of the Great Commission in Deuteronomy 6 and Matthew 28 and how that plays out is, oh man, I'm not doing this very well. And I'm wondering if you can give us some very practical ways that right now we could say, okay, I want to do this. We don't have Malachi Kids here or anywhere close to us. We want to engage in this. How can I do that as a parent or a grandparent? How can I disciple my children or my grandchildren so that I can have a ministry impact, a Deuteronomy 6 or Matthew 28 impact on those close to me?
Well, I want you to know that I did not get this in Bible college or seminary. But as I really got into the scriptures, here's what I discovered, that discipling your children is as easy as telling stories. In Psalm chapter 78, the writer is Asaph. By the way, he played the big brass clanging cymbals, if you can imagine.
How loud?
Oh, very loud. He woke up all the people that were falling asleep in the services. That's why I believe today that all churches ought to have a clanging cymbal banger in there somewhere to wake everybody
Proverbs
up.
Proverbs talk about that a little bit as a, let's leave that in the past there.
Well, you know what? I found this. Asaph, he says, I'm going to speak to you in parables. Now, sometimes we think a parable is something way out there that we can't grasp, but let me tell you what it is. It's a simple story that contains truth, teachings, morals, insights. Did you know that the entire Bible is chock full of wonderful stories designed by God for us to communicate, to have conversation with our kids? And in those stories, we take them on a journey of discovery of those truths, and then we, the parents, walk with our kids as they experience those truths. Now, the first two you can do at church. You can tell the story, and you can teach the truth in that story and really lock it in there.
And kids' ministries do that well.
Yeah, and they do that well. But one thing you cannot do at church, and that's apply it. In other words, in that everyday life,
help them live it out.
That's where the parents have to now come back into the game and dedicate themselves to walking with their kids around this whole idea of biblical story. So Asaph, here's what he says. He says, we will not hide God's word from our children. And as I was thinking on that one day, here's what I thought. How do you hide God's word? You never tell them. And that's the problem we're facing in churches around the world today. Parents don't know how to get into these spiritual conversations in story with their kids. So we've got some ideas that perhaps if you invite me back someday, we'll share with you some of those wild stories that truly do activate
parents.
Jack,
I invite you back all the time. You just sometimes don't come. So we just make that record clear. I think it's so important also for parents. I think sometimes we've removed God from being real and relevant to being secondary. And we, as parents even sometimes, have our relationship with Jesus kind of confined to the building of the church rather than a radical, life-altering, reorienting relationship with the living God who is with us always.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I think that even the discipling of our children in the home can actually shape our own faith, our own understanding, our own living out our faith for the glory of our kingdom.
Amen. And how do we get parents to take those first few steps? Here's what I've come to believe. They need leadership, and the spiritual leaders of the church are those leaders that can not just teach them and tell them what God would have them to do, but commission them or appoint them to doing these things in the home, and then giving them the simple tools that begins that process. and activates them. And let me tell you this, and this is what I've learned, that if parents will have spiritual conversation with their kids when they're young, and they faithfully continue, when those kids get older, into their teen years and young adult years, those kids will always look at dad and mom as their confidants. They will respect them and love them, and they will go to them the rest of their lives because they value them that much. But if we don't do that, if we don't build that foundation, and people will tell you this every day, oh, my kid's a teenager now, and he's I can't talk to him. Or my kid's in his 20s or 30s, and I have no spiritual conversation. How do we help parents build those bridges now while those kids are young?
Yeah, I think it's super important. I would also just say, too, that if your child is older and you're struggling, start now. Start sharing what God is doing in your life. Start sharing stories regardless of their age.
Regardless of age.
If you can start sharing and discipling in the home, I when I'm holding my Eloise, my granddaughter, I love to tell her stories. I always got a kick. I was sharing the gospel with her the other day, and my son Jeff said, hey, Dad, that was my job. I want to do that first.
So, yeah, good
for
him.
And she can't understand. She's still pretty young, but she's very smart. So maybe, you know, 6 months, she's understanding more than most. I think if we can engage in the home, regardless of the age of our children, but the younger, the better, grandchildren, we could actually see a revival. I think we've lost really the story of God impacting our stories, and we've kind of segregated Christianity to a backdrop where other things dominate it more, whether that's entertainment or COVID or our views on whatever. And I think if we can bring back the centrality of Christ and the stories of the Bible to impact us in the reality of who God is and what God has done for us.
Amen.
Yeah. I think there could truly be a revival.
You know, God, and I remind parents of this, God did not call you to be a holy chauffeur. You know, it's wonderful, and you should. You should bring your kids to church.
But you should do more.
That's right. You've got to understand that making a disciple is time intensive. You've got to take the time to engage, and we want to help you do that. We know how to do that quite well now as we've experienced this in Africa.
I love it.
And in Asia and in countries around the world.
So, Jack, I just want you to very briefly, we want to close up here. And I think we've given this new passion, this understanding of kids' ministry's importance, a 4:14 window, and then discipleship in the home. How do I learn more about what you're doing? So if I want to learn about Global Children's Network, if I want to engage, if I want to give, I know I give to this ministry. I think it's super important. I know we as a congregation have talked about it. I know Paul certainly believes very passionately in it and does a lot of fundraising for you and gives personally as well. How can we engage to understand more what is going on, but also to be supportive in our own lives and homes, obviously applying this, but also in supporting the ministries, millions of kids or million kids being reached.
One thing, and we're encouraging churches now that we are finally coming to North America. By design, we decided to start other places in the world so we could really learn so that when we someday brought this ministry to North America, we would really know what we were talking about. And today's the day. We really are doing that. And
is that because your amazing board? Or what's
it's because of the board, you know, real visionaries. You know, the exciting thing is we started here. And I really have a lot of excitement thinking about Vancouver, the churches in Vancouver, where this movement in North America would really galvanize and we could tell the story from Cloverdale and other places and other churches, as parents really become activated and they get involved. So we're excited about it. By the way, you mentioned a few minutes ago about grandparents. Let me say something about grandparents. Go ahead and retire every night when you go to bed, but re-enlist first thing in the morning because God is not finished with you.
Yes.
And as a grandparent, you still have influence.
And massive impact if you engage.
Oh my goodness. Grandparents, and Pastor Rob, you just said that. Please understand, grandparents, God still wants to work through you. And your kids and your kids' kids
so true.
Need you.
So true. Jack, it's been a privilege to have you. GlobalChildrensNetwork.com.
Yes, globalchildrensnetwork.org.
Globalchildrensnetwork.org. But even more importantly, as you've listened to this, learn the stories of God, share them in the home, talk about God everywhere you go, and make sure that you're realizing that Christianity is not some religion that you live on Sundays, but a relationship with God that drives and defines you. Discipleship in the home, reaching children in the 414 window, making a difference. Jack, you have done that faithfully. You're one of my heroes. You've done an amazing job for God all around the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of partnering with you in the gospel all around the world.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. And let me encourage everybody listening, come be part of this movement. We're trying to change the world and get the church excited about the coming of Jesus by getting back to its mission, which is to go make disciples.
And last time I checked, he's coming again.
And soon, for that matter.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast.